Welcome to St. Stephen Warbrook for this week's Start Stop. My name is Meg Post. Our reading today is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 5 to 7 and 11 to 15, reading from William Tyndale's translation of the New Testament. Let there be but one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, which is above all, through all, and in you all. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The very same made some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds, some teachers, that the saints might have all things necessary to work and minister withal, to the edifying of the body of Christ, till we every one in the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God grow up into a perfect man after the measure of age of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children wandering and carried with every wind of doctrine by the wiliness of men and craftiness whereby they lay await for us to deceive us. But let us follow the truth in love, and in all things grow in him which is the head, that is to say, Christ. In many ways, this passage from Ephesians has a solid, comfortable warmth to it. It celebrates strength in diversity, suggesting that God grants every person unique gifts, and that, united together, everyone's gift will be an essential part of the structure which underpins and supports our faith and allows us to be more fully the people God made us to be. Tyndale expresses St. Paul beautifully. There is almost a glow to the words, yet in more than 2,000 years this combination of diversity and unity has proved very difficult to achieve. On the 4th of May, we remember the English saints and martyrs of the Reformation era. William Tyndale, a gifted linguist who studied at Oxford and Cambridge, was born in about 1494 and martyred in 1536. During the 1520s, editions of the Bible in the vernacular were being printed in a number of European countries, and editions of Tyndale's New Testament, translated from the Greek and Hebrew, first appeared in 1525. His translations were completed by Coverdale and were used as the basis for the Great Bible, the first authorised Bible in English, and later for other editions, including the King James Version, which so many people know and love. During the Reformation period in Europe, the structure of the practice of faith was shifting away from a priest-led congregation, listening to the word of God through a representative of the hierarchy of the organised church. The priest was probably able to read and understand Latin from a Bible that was not accessible to the rest of the community. Reformed churches usually moved towards a congregational structure where teaching could be shared more easily through the use of the vernacular. Worship and understanding was within a community, and today that has widened still further, as individuals feel they should understand and study their faith for themselves within a diverse community of like-minded people. William Tyndale and Thomas Cranmer both died for their beliefs, but they each made a lasting contribution which has supported worshipping communities ever since. Our ways of expressing belief may vary, but we come together in the same faith, where individuals hold in common the belief that really matters. The primate, writes Peter Newman Brooks about Cranmer, evidently by no means regarded the language of compromise as the language of defeat. Cranmer's 1549 prayer book was in many ways a masterpiece of compromise between the old and new ways. Cranmer was born in 1489. And died in 1556. He was an ecclesiastical statesman, involved in the separation of the Church of England from the papacy. He was a scholar at Cambridge who originally began to assist Henry VIII in his efforts to get his first marriage to Catherine of Aragon annulled. Cranmer travelled through Europe as a diplomat, and Sorand was able to study new and emerging forms of worship at first hand. He was a scholar and a reader of theological writings rather than a theologian. Cranmer's strength is to be found elsewhere, writes Brooks, and his contribution to Reformation is best remembered for the liturgical skills that powered an essentially pastoral theology. Cranmer's liturgical reforms changed the balance of emphasis in the 1549 prayer book, especially in the communion service, all expressed in carefully worded but everyday language, accessible and widely acceptable. He distilled the concepts and language of the medieval liturgy into an intricately constructed Book of Common Prayers, which has formed the basis of Anglican worship for nearly 500 years. Fusing widely divergent views and writing at a time when the English language was what is often considered to have been at its best. The Anglican Church owes a great deal to these two reformers and to the early Reformation scholars who helped form their thinking, which in turn informs our own, whether we entirely agree with it or not. But with freedom of thought and expression goes acceptance of diversity, which we all value so highly in all its forms and in all areas of our lives, but which is elusive. It is not as easy as it looks. Diversity in worship should be a strength to enrich faith, understanding, and the way we live. Individually, we're all drawn to the presence of God in different ways. As we increase our understanding of others and respect and celebrate their talents and different ways of thinking, we can deepen our own faith and forge a unity in worship which enables us to share our common experience of God together. Our prayers are from Cranmer's prayer book and their three collects. First, from the communion service. Almighty God, the fountain of all wisdom, which knowest our necessities before we ask and our ignorance in asking, we beseech thee to have compassion upon our infirmities and those things which for our unworthiness we dare not, and for our blindness we cannot ask, vouchsafe to give us for the worthiness of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And from Evensong. O God, from whom all holy desires and all good counsels do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that both our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that by thee, we being defended from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness. Through the merits of Christ our Saviour. Amen. And for the fourth Sunday after Easter. Almighty God, which dost make the minds of all faithful men to be of one will, grant unto thy people that they may love the thing which thou commandest and desire that which thou dost promise, that among the sundry and manifold changes of the world our hearts may surely there be fixed, whereas true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The church is now open from 10:30 to 3:30 from Tuesday to Friday. Please do look at our website where there are details of services and events both in the church and recorded. Thank you for listening and have a peaceful week.